Good morning, Canton.
Good morning, Canton.
Wake up, Canton.
Time to get up.
Wake up.
Or as Tricky Dick has dubbed our show and city now for the past 2 weeks, or redubbed, I should say. What is it? What do you like to call Canton now?
New Iceland.
New Iceland.
Ladies and gentlemen, New Iceland.
Yes, sir. Good morning, listeners all around the world, if you're listening in.
We need to work on having the county, or the city at least, you know, I'll work on changing our accents to sound like the Swedish chef.
Yes, I totally agree. So what do we got going on today? Some local updates here, T-Nelly. You want to get us started with that? Yes, T-Nelly is back in studio with us, folks. She was remote location last week for a fracking action, but we're gonna segue in here with some relevant updates here in Ohio.
Well, let me just start with the rally that I was at last week. They were able to delay the sale of water thanks to all of the supporters that came out. We have solidarity with all of you guys. Buckeye Forest Council was amazing. Food and Water Watch was also great. Can you guys hear me? No,
there we go. Yeah.
All right. All right. They stopped delayed the sale of the water at the Muskingum Watershed. They do have some other good things going on. We have next weekend the Canton Marathon. Also, there's an event in Columbus that Josh Fox will be at.
I think it's Mark. Josh Fox, I don't know if he'll be there. I know Mark Ruffalo will be there.
I thought I saw Josh Fox.
Is he really?
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't know this. That's actually really exciting. Josh Fox will be there in Columbus, too.
Yeah, that's what they said.
That's outstanding. Mark Ruffalo, Hulk smash, by the way. Anyway.
All right, and then just another update. The president of KSU has taken another bonus of $192,000 while our graduating students are fighting to pay off their student loans.
So is that a bonus on a bonus?
Yeah. That's a bonus on a bonus, yes.
Yeah, if I could elaborate here very quickly, as being an alumni from Kent State, too, so very proud. The president of Kent State University, over, I want to think, 3 or 4 years now, has given himself a longevity bonus of $90,000. But this year, the trustees at Kent State felt the need to give him an extra $100,000 on top of that. So, and that's going all back onto the students. Just really unfortunate to watch. And I hope, you know, if anybody's been paying attention to Canada, we'll briefly discuss this later. But
I think we need to start calling, giving all these bonuses that he's that Lester is giving a name. I think we should call them golden flashes.
Golden.
Say Lester's latest gold flash, $192K.
I like the flash. Okay, can I go back into my announcements?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So today we have our General Assembly downtown at Central Plaza. It's going to be outside at 12:00. You can look for T-Nelly's tent. It's only going to be running about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Also in Cleveland today, we have special guests. They're going to be coming in from all over. It's called Occupy the Roads. This is their 99th stop, which is kind of cool to the 99%, and Cleveland being the 99th city to visit. They're going to be doing a potluck right in Cleveland. You might want to go ahead and go to Cleveland's website to check out all the details if you want to join them. That pretty much covers it for my next weekend we do have the Canton Marathon.
Yeah, that's June 17th. That's also on the same day. Is it the 17th?
It's a solidarity. It's in solidarity with the big action in Columbus. Mm-hmm.
And it's sponsored by Chesapeake. That's one of the main reasons why Occupy Canton has decided to form a team and run in the marathon.
And, right, just to, you know, subtly, you know, while still supporting our community, I might
sure
add. Getting out there and you know, making our presence felt and letting Chesapeake know that you know, you guys are about to collapse.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for sponsoring our marathon.
Yeah, I just
with no frack water.
Yeah, I just find it such an oxymoron that you know, a natural gas company that is exempt from all pollution, you know, loopholes or all pollution regulation sponsors a marathon that promotes, you know, like healthy living and being fit and staying in shape while we pollute your air and your water.
You know what? Yeah. I think it would be funny to put them in a wheel and let them just run our energy.
Like a hamster wheel?
Yes, a hamster wheel. I'm just saying, I just got this image of Chesapeake, like the guys like running in a wheel. I'm just saying.
That's a good idea.
I think that'd be a nice alternative to...
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's a better alternative.
To like imprisonment or, you know...
Running the wheel.
Or do you just want to be... Yeah, I love it. Yeah, you know, we can just generate, you know, man-made electricity through the people that have oppressed us. So,
sounds good.
Good work, Tinelli. If you're ever in, you know, you might make it here in Canton. I like where your head's at.
All right, and then another thing I just wanted to find out about. There was a governor that had mentioned something about getting rid of all Democratic parties. No Republicans, no
you
Democrats.
Mean just
all political parties.
Political parties, like, abolished. Goodbye. And, you know, here's the thing. We are the United States. Why not get rid of it? It would give us one less thing to divide us.
Well, you have to have some sort of structure and organization.
Well,
for corporations.
Now, do we not focus on the actual running people, or are we just going just voting out there due to the parties? Like, okay, I'm Republican.
This is actually really interesting. I was talking about this morning before I got here. Yeah, some individuals, you know, they truly believe when they go to the voter booth that it's just Republican, vote or Democrat. Either way,
Amen.
They just vote by their party or, you know, their color, blue or red. You know, I'm red, you know, so I'm voting red.
That's division. That's the division that we need to get away from.
Right. I mean,
or create a third party, in my opinion. Or create a third party to voice.
I agree with Tara, though. Tinelli, united. Are we united or not?
We are the United States.
I think we're slowly but surely getting there.
No, we're
truly.
Getting further away. We're getting further divided. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it depends on your perspective. Agents that are working in both directions. I mean, this is something that I've talked about quite a bit, especially to a lot of friends of mine online, most especially, mm-hmm. where I talk about like all these false walls that are dividing us, that are like keeping us from actually getting to real solutions. Because you might have a great idea, and you might be, you know, full blown, you know, red as red can be conservative, but just out of the simple fact that you are, you know, a GOP person, then all of a sudden this person over here isn't going to listen to you.
That's
and then you're not going to listen to this person over here just because he happens to be a Democrat and has an ACLU card.
No attempt for compromise. None.
Right.
You know, because on most occasions, I shouldn't say all, but no. It's like, oh, you're a Democrat. Who'd you vote for last election? I'm not even going to listen to you.
About you're a human, and that's I am too. I love you.
You know,
I like that idea. That's Tinelli right there.
Can I tell a story just briefly, real quick? I got into a gentleman's quarrel, I guess I'll say, over the background on my cell phone, for crying out loud. I was just sitting having some wings, and it said ban fracking. It was a ban fracking sticker by Food and Water Watch on my cell phone. And he's like, do you really believe in that? You know, you really think that, you know. And he starts getting into politics and asked me who I'd voted for and who am I going to vote for this year. And he asked me if I'm a Democrat or Republican. And I looked back at him and said, I'm a human being. You know, and then people on the corner of the bar who were kind of listening in, they all looked at me like I was freaking crazy. You know what I mean?
You are.
I mean, the truth is that people are conservative about some issues and liberal about others. That's the absolute truth. Like, you know, each individual has their own set, you know, if you want to use the words, you know, liberal and conservative to compare.
Right, if we're going to label it.
See, you did make a good point, Mike Check. We are all human.
Absolutely.
And we all are going to have our own humanistic ideas of where the government should be. And, you know, if you go in and look at the actual, what do you want to call it, the agendas, or not the agendas, but the idea of what the people are standing for, and you vote on that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's where we need to go back to.
Well, I like Occupy, how they're broadly stating that, you know, more and more defund both the candidates. You know, don't give them, you know, from the, I believe they both receive funding from the Federal Reserve, if I'm not mistaken, is what I was reading. These are reports. These are not confirmed. So if that's true, what does that mean, first off? And second off, what would it really take? You know, we Occupy is finally voicing the fact that we need to get money out of politics. That's, I think, the number one issue at hand at this point, because money can sway and persuade everything. Yeah, people are...
Again, taking it back to all of our guys in the Senate and the State House taking cuts for, or pay cuts, or not pay cuts, but paychecks from Chesapeake to shut us up.
All right. Well, you know, and this goes back to another thing that happened this week. That was the Netroots convention out in Providence,
Rhode
Island.
Yeah, talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Well, basically, what it is that it's how to say it. It's a.
You said it was like a grassroots.
Yeah, it's this grassroots
convention.
Convention where just all sorts of different people, you know, from generally speaking, the more progressive, you know, side of the. the aisle, go and basically discuss issues and I guess, you know, to some extent strategize and that type of thing. You know, they, one of the big things that they say, and I'm going to read this from something that that was sent to me here, is that the call to action is as simple as just talking to people about issues that it matters, that, you know, writing letters to legislatures and canvassing. Politicians do respond to pressure from the masses. They need votes to get reelected. While Citizens and Billionaires United has lots of money, we have lots of people. And think about all the great things that have happened as a result of people coming together to fight what matters.
Exactly.
And that's basically, in a nutshell, what this Netroots convention was all about. It was about saying that, okay, they might have the money, but we have the people. And
absolutely,
ultimately, they have not deteriorated our government enough to where votes, you know, don't matter. It's like, you know, it's just, we just have to make sure that they're counted and that people understand and know the issues well enough that they actually vote.
So is this convention, is it kind of like a teaching tool too? Does it, you know, give people tools to take back to their communities, you know? Or
I believe that there's like a lot of that. There's like a lot of speakers who are just discussing different issues and discussing, you know, basically, you know, kind of laying out what needs to be done going forward.
And I think it hits the nail on the head then. You know, it's the absolute truth. What Michael Moore was saying early on last year, that it was 400 individuals make more money than half of our population in the United States.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
What the numbers were, but if you turn that around, you know, that's a lot of people. And it's just a perfect example that people power can persuade and move and shake everything, but you need, you know, to release yourself of this apathy, you know, or this fear that you have of acting or speaking, you know, expressing yourself. I think that might be part of it too, at least here in the United States and in Ohio. People, I think, are afraid a little bit.
Well, I think they're afraid and too comfortable.
Too comfortable with what? With oppression?
Too comfortable to notice oppression. I mean, it's like, why worry about what's going on out there when you know, Dancing with the Stars is on?
Well, yeah.
It's distracting. Yeah, that's... I will agree with that.
Like, you know what? I've got my Cheetos. I got this great sofa, TV.
What do I need?
I'm fine. Well, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Take away beer, and what would happen to our society?
I would kill you.
I love that.
I mean, like the Russians, you know.
Sweet
they had
nectar.
Communism, but they always had subsidized vodka. Otherwise, society would collapse.
Well, let's see what happened during Prohibition.
It still flowed.
Yeah. Sweet nectar of the gods.
Well, you know, legal drugs are great. By the way.
Oh, speaking of drugs.
By the way, Tina, this is for you. Kids, no bath salts, please.
Yeah, please.
No bath salts, please.
We need to get that out there.
We need to get the zombies out of Canton, not create
salts,
more.
Bath salts make human flesh look like a garden salad. I don't know. No, yeah. Thank you, Tina Ellie, for bringing that to our attention. Seriously, though, it is really awful. I mean, we joke.
Right. Well, I mean, in a way, let's think of that, about that metaphorically, about the numbing, you know, of our very nature. I mean, it's like,
yeah, I think
we are numbing ourselves. I mean, it's like, that's okay. That's very specifically like this really rancid, horrible drug, right? But you know what? So much of entertainment, you know, is a drug. So much of the things that we fight for as far as comfort is a drug. You know, I mean,
human beings are, No,
I mean,
you're right.
And realize to a certain extent that, okay,
like, what's more harmful
you're not
for
eating,
you?
You're not drinking coffee and then therefore, you know, eating somebody's face off. However, you are drinking coffee that might be killing a farmer, you know, who got kicked off their land because that corporation who made that coffee did that and their family's now starving. So maybe you're not eating that person's face off. But
are we in the Matrix?
You are, in fact, killing them.
Are we in the Matrix?
Yes.
Somebody
yes,
wake
are.
Me up.
Yes.
Morpheus,
are
you?
That's the whole thing right there.
Mr. Mike Check.
Everything's connected.
Yes. Where are we? All right. I think we're going to take a quick musical break here. We'll be coming back with more Revolution Radio. You can check out our Tumblr at Revolution Radio with a zero. .tumblr.com. Our Twitter handle is Revolution Radio with a zero, and we also have a Facebook page at Revolution Radio, and check out RadioFreeCanton.net.
All right,
we'll be back.
Oh, in the interest of drugs, here's a little morphine.
All right.
I love it.
I think.
This space.
Is it not plugged in?
Okay, so as we're having technical difficulties, we're waiting for Tricky Dick and his fancy equipment to bring on our music once again. I don't know if it's necessarily I think it's apathy and fear. I believe it's a mix of both. I think people fear the ability to act, and here we go as Tricky Dick cuts me off. Revolution Radio.
See a little more fat. You know I like to see a little more fat.
Sorry about that, folks.
Little honey white for you.
I love how Tricky Dick just cranks it up right in the middle as I'm trying to fill air. You know, he's just like, whatever, dude. Get on with it. Anyway.
I think I'm doing a public service, actually.
Hey.
Yeah.
You're lucky I like you.
Hey, you guys watch it. I don't want to see peace signs and solidarity flying in here.
No, so back to this idea of apathy, though. You know, when we look outside of the states, we're seeing massive protests. You know, so I don't know if it's us living in the states and us not living in Europe to be up to date. You know, if they're similar to us, or if there seems to be, at least maybe in Ohio. I shouldn't speak for the entire United States, can I make that point? You know, there is a sense of still of apathy or fear in us to, you know, get together and march and voice our, you know, our outcries and our demands of what needs to change.
Well, I mean, I think that that's what we're trying to – the Occupy movement in general, I believe, is that is there's a certain amount of us who aren't apathetic, who are actually out there, you know, trying to do stuff. And there's a lot of other people before Occupy, tons of people before Occupy, you know, so I don't want to, you know, take – too much credit for that. However, the idea being is that we're trying to reach a critical mass to where actual, real, fundamental, systemic change can occur. The kind of change that needs to happen in order to get us off this track, because quite frankly, it's going to require something rather Herculean in order to make things change, and that's hopefully what we're seeing.
Well, so I mean, so how do you reach the individuals? Maybe at least that they're aware, but they're afraid to act.
Speak out, yeah.
They're afraid to move. What, you know, is it just them coming to their own, you know, sense of self or being honest with themselves? Maybe. You know, it does take a little bit of soul searching, you know, not to be cliche, but, you know, I'm trying to figure it out and create, you know, a little bit of discussion here, but I don't know really what it is. I just feel like...
How would you feel if you got cancer today, diagnosed, you got 3 days to live? Would anything that you thought you believed really matter?
No. Nope. You're absolutely right.
That's where we get stuck. We get stuck with, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. But when, if you're like on your deathbed, nothing matters. None of those issues, everything.
It's true.
You release it, and you have to be present in the moment because that's all you got.
It's true. You know, so is it this? What's I might butcher it. The quote from Fight Club, but it's, you know, Tyler Durden says something like this: "See so much potential here, but we." You know, we buy things that we don't want or that we don't, you know, we work for the man. Yeah, we buy things that we don't want or need. And it's so true.
Yeah, you butchered that.
I butchered it. Well, go ahead. Fire away. Go away, Mr. Durden. No. Durden. So, you know, I mean, so back to then, you know, we're talking about, I guess, apathy a little bit. And, you know, I've been, this is just more a personal opinion, but I've been upset to just watch the education system in Ohio and tuition increase over the past 4 years, you know, and students just get hammered, you know, and meanwhile, Canada, if you've been paying any attention, folks, is just, they're in the spotlight. They're in the global spotlight right now. You know, their press release to the mainstream media last week that we talked about was, what's that?
Oh, they're all beating their pants.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, their message to the mainstream media was outstanding, and they keep throwing around the word, like, love, and their most recent action that, you know, to, again, further step into the spotlight, kind of, if you will, because they were going to disrupt the Formula One race, I believe, in Canada, and they were doing it nude. And not fully nude, but most women were topless, and they were painted, and most men too. So Canada, in solidarity with you guys, everyone here in studio, it just stripped down to their skivvies. We are with you, Canada.
Which I guess is
love
why we're
and solidarity.
All
are you sure we're not apathetic then? Or
no, but you know, just back to that. I wish I could be in Montreal right now. I can just sense it. You know, following them on Twitter, watching their posts. You know, on Facebook too, I can sense an excitement in Canada
and their passion
right
well,
now
they're feeding
for change. Off of it. I mean,
and you know the pictures I've seen, they're just like I said. They're, and I'm sure other, you know, revolutions worldwide in other countries are too. But this is getting very close to home, and they're constantly just centered around one word. You know, love. You know, and when individuals in Canada are saying they're so proud. You know, of their city. They're so proud of their neighborhoods. Well, that's what I want here in Canton. You know, I want to be proud from where I'm from. I want people to unite and get together because that's the only way you can shake and move things.
Yeah, when we can truly call Canton New Iceland.
Yeah, exactly. And not the Utica capital, folks, if you haven't heard. Our mayor has dubbed us after the shale that they're aiming for and extracting left and right around here.
Oh, shoot. That reminds me. I had an encounter with the police department when I had my tent up the other night.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
Well, they asked me if I was creating a KOA in downtown Canton. Oh, and by the way, that is in solidarity of Occupy Canton, just for the simple fact is that we are dubbed the new Utica capital instead of that. So as soon as the...
Redubbed New Iceland.
Yes, they were going to redub it.
No, but I want to finish my thought on Canada and then, you know, whatever from there. But, you know, just education issues, you know, education, again, I keep going back to that. It is so vitally important. You know, if you can only offer an education to a certain population with, you know, higher amounts of money. That's a form of enslavement. You know, in my opinion, we can only offer when somebody willingly wants to educate themselves, enlighten themselves, and they can't because they can't afford it. You know, and that's why I'm glad Canada, you know, that's their huge movement has started. You know, students were striking for over 100 days in Montreal before, you know, everyone just kind of joined in. But cities are popping up left and right now in Canada, just moving. You know, they're moving progressively.
Well,
I love it. I love you, Canada.
Where does the fear kick in, though? I mean, because there were calls to action, you know, here locally. Yeah. With very relevant things that were happening right here in our midst, and all I heard was all sorts of stuff about but it's like I have a test that day and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean,
you know, and stuff like that. Which okay, to those be are fair, legitimate Kent academic State, fears, but I mean,
Kent State did have one at the end. They did have one at the end of the semester. Remember, they had about 300 students, and it was the spontaneous one, right? It was over the credit hours. Anything above 17 credit hours, students are getting penalized $444 per credit hour. They were calling it the ambition penalty. You know, so if students actually wanted to bust their ass and get out of school in 4 years, they're getting penalized for it. Right. Yeah, ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Shouldn't you reward students that want to do that rather than penalize them? It's the complete opposite.
Well, okay, well, clearly some students had that threshold crossed, where they finally, you know, something hit home enough to where they were called in, to where they were called into action. You know, I mean,
students are the sleeping giant in Ohio, in my opinion. There's a lot of them.
But I mean, but that's the whole thing, though. It's like, why does it usually require something so catastrophic? I mean, back in the neighborhood that I grew up in, I mean, there's like all these streets along busy streets, you know, where they happen to be pathways where kids used to go and walk to school. And people would be constantly saying, we need sidewalks, we need sidewalks, we need sidewalks. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Until finally enough kids got killed. And then all of a sudden,
should create some sidewalks so our kids aren't getting smacked.
Why does it require so many kids to die in order for...
Apparently a human life is worth nothing today. If that's what it took. If it took more than one kid, you know, to get...
That just takes me back to the violence here in Canada as well. And, you know, I mean, our kids are dying. Why aren't they doing anything about that?
Right.
Well, our kids aren't dying. Well,
they're getting shot.
They're targeting each other when it's not their fault. And that's, you know, probably purposeful. That's probably meant to be that, you know, the powers that be or the powers that will, you know, in this country that oppress us, want us to turn against each other and not, you know, work with each other.
They
and that's what's happening.
Us even more.
Oh yeah, it's happening right here, you know, in our backyard too. Definitely.
So I mean, if we're trying to like solve this idea of apathy, I mean, once is division.
People
part
need to
of
get
it,
brave.
Then?
I think people need to just lead by example anymore. People need to stop talking and start doing.
I agree with that too.
Certainly that's the case, but I think that there's. I'm trying to diagnose the problem. Like, that's the cure, just getting up and doing something.
Love.
But for a lot of people, it's difficult to do that. Like I hear stories. I used to hear so many stories about people who were out of work. And the longer that they were out of work, the harder it was for them to get up and do something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's difficult.
I believe that.
I mean, it's like it sort of follows, you know, laws of thermodynamics. You know, an object in motion, you know, tends to stay in motion. An object tends to remain static. And so, I mean, I think that there's some sort of an analog with human behavior there, you know. So, I mean, getting that initial inertia overcome to where people start moving, to where momentum actually takes over, that's what's important.
Let me ask you this: Do you think it's important for an individual to experience, you know, not just a protest, but a huge, you know, a bigger size protest? I'm talking thousands of people.
I want millions.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. That was one of the things for me personally that made me go, this is amazing. You know, we can make
difference.
Yes.
How many times have you been at a concert and you just felt like
this presence.
You were all one. Yes, yes. You were all present.
At a football game.
That's
what
you get. Right.
Cleveland Browns, you know, bless the Browns. I've been burdened with this.
You get
I love
this
you.
Oneness
I hate to love you, Cleveland. But no, yeah. The passion, you know, the chants all at the same time, thinking about the same thing, wanting the same things.
Just being one.
It's the same, yes, that same type
That's
of
what
environment.
We need to
but
be
instead,
one.
I want to be marching down frickin' Market Street, you know, down here in Canton, doing the same thing.
Because
you guess what, folks? It's your right. You have every right to do that.
T. Nelly has a big an idea what I would like to see happen, all of the jobless, I mean, giving them a place to go and occupy their space, to go out there and actually make a voice and become one. I mean, if we could get the jobless to actually have an occupation, hence, you know, more voices, and giving them a sense of, I guess, motivation to actually do something. If you're not
Did you mean a difference, a distinct difference between jobless and homeless? Because you started off homeless, then you said job. I'm just clarifying because there's a little
both.
Bit.
I mean, okay. You know, because okay. What is jobless?
People
without jobs, even.
Yeah, exactly.
People without jobs.
I mean, our minimum wage, in retrospect, if you compare it to everything else that's inflated, our minimum wage should be between $12 and $15 an hour.
Yes.
Oh, actually, there have been...
Or is it more than that?
There's been analyses that have made that show that it is cheaper, that labor today is cheaper by and large than slave labor was.
What?
That when you take into account...
I need to see that one, but it doesn't surprise me.
Back during the days of the Confederacy, that you had to house, you had to feed, you had to, like, you know, do all these things in order to maintain your slaves, that it actually... paying minimum wage and the fact that minimum wage never goes up, that right now it's cheaper for McDonald's to run its restaurants, you know, with people being paid minimum wage than if they had slave labor.
Unreal.
Wow.
It makes perfect sense now that you explain the theory or the concept, but
yeah, and most Walmart employees, they're on government assistance, right?
In fact, they teach them how to get onto government assistance.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they don't have benefits.
Walmart's
package.
Walmart's so sketchy. Oh my
right,
god!
Right, it's like so they're sitting taking over there like and they're like you know trying to destroy like any regulations and so on and so forth, saying free market capitalism, and then they go and they socialize all of their benefits, you know, by throwing onto the government. So, thanks for being hypocrites, Walmart. We appreciate it.
Yes, and you know what, guys, I did catch myself going in there because I was looking for a tent and I got a good deal, but.
That's another problem. No, you hit the nail on the head because things are cheap there.
Right.
So people shop there.
Right, and that's like horrible. Like I felt guilty for walking in the store.
You need to have a little bit of dough to throw around if you want to support local. I mean, that's there's a farmer's market. I think was it? Did I see if there's one downtown Canada? I'm not sure. But you know, but those are a little more expensive to go buy your produce. But at the very same moment, that's
supporting
how you
our
reestablish a local. Yeah.
But that's part of the whole comfort thing that I was talking about before. That it's hard to get people up in arms when they can go to a Walmart and get everything that they need for super cheap. Now, it's super cheap because you know, of all the different practices that are in place that allow that to happen, the externalization of costs, you know, basically slave wages for labor and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, massive tax breaks that Walmart's able to leverage to be able to sell items cheaper than local merchants, which... I mean, by the way, it goes back to the Tea Party. If people want to remember last week's show,
yeah.
So I mean, that's why Walmart is doing the exact same thing that the East India Trading Company was doing that precipitated the Boston Tea Party back prior to the Revolution.
I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Walmart next, like start up like their own car dealership. Like that's in, like you can shop for a car here at Walmart too after getting your groceries and your clothes and your TV and DVDs and everything.
Cell phones.
Yeah, come buy
healthcare.
A car. Yeah.
Well, you know it's kind of funny.
Fracking.
I was
sure.
Fracking equipment.
Yeah.
I was young in the 80s and I remember hearing like all the stories about how awful it was in the Soviet Union that you had to go to a big warehouse in order to buy all of your goods and wait in long lines.
Oh yeah, you waited in line. So, what are we waiting in line for? Oh, toilet paper. Okay.
Right, right. You know, like this big horrible thing. So. What do we do, this great free market capitalist society, but we go to a big giant warehouse in order to wait in long lines to buy stuff that is cheaply made and that gives us no choice.
We are
mimicking the exact thing that we mocked about the Soviet Union.
Yeah. And even if you have the intent to just get in and get out, you know,
if you go at midnight, they have one cash register open. And there will be a big, giant line because they only got one guy working.
Well, what I'm saying is like, oh, I just need to stop and grab some milk real quick. And next thing you're walking out with like
–
yeah, exactly. They're set up to distract you.
Forget that. I want to go get me some stuff to go fishing with.
I mean,
as
soon as you walk in, you got everything that's a dollar here and that's, you know, $2 here that's on clearance. You know, right away it's like dangling the carrot in front of you. You need this. You need to buy this crap. Thanks, Walmart.
Right on. I mean – But yeah, I mean, once again, that's, you know, these having items that are so available to us you know, this consumerist culture that we have is part of this numbing effect. It's, you know, I mean, it's sort of this widespread consumer version of bath salts. I mean, to be perfectly honest, it allows us to eat the faces of third world countries and second world countries, and now finally ourselves.
Chemtrails, whatever in our water, our meds anymore, you know,
nanoparticles. Yeah.
Well, hey. I mean, look what's but look what's happening in Europe right now. I mean, everything's going up in arms in Europe because Spain is now laying out the you know, their bailout. You know, 40 billion euros is about ready to go straight to the Spanish banks, right? And why is that? For private debt. Private debt that private banks did, you know, that they're responsible for, you know, with their mortgages. I mean, they're also, Europe is also a victim of the mortgage foreclosure crisis. And that's what that's all about.
Folks, if you haven't understood yet, globally, we are all being oppressed by the same relative things. Everything worldwide, same issues worldwide.
So, I mean, but this is the same battle that's happening in Greece. And for some strange reason, it's like they're trying I believe that some people from Germany were saying, undisclosed people from Germany were saying that they had to have the deal set up for Spain's bailout prior to Greece's next elections.
What would happen if we had a people's initiative and they all just went in their neighborhoods and took back the houses that have been foreclosed on, that are boarded up, and fixed them up and started occupying them?
Well, that's happening in Spain.
Yes,
squatting.
Actually,
so what's wrong with that?
That's a great question. What is stopping people from doing that?
At least for the sake
of having a roof over your head.
Yeah. Right.
If everyone decided that's homeless, or you know, that just all at once just dispersed and said, I'm going to go, you know,
occupy that space.
There'd be too many people, you know.
That's what crackheads do, right? They just take over the house.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, because they're there. You know, we have 5,000 vacant homes in Canton, for crying out loud. And it's only getting worse.
And some of them are actually scheduled for tear down. Perfectly good homes that just need rehabbed. I mean, they just need to go in there and actually fix it up, we can actually use them.
A tree fell onto my parents' property. And it was a foreclosed house that was just in limbo in the bank. And they can't even get any recompense for the tree falling because it was actually their tree. The insurance company won't cover it.
Surprise.
See, surprise. All the little ancillary things that are part of the foreclosure crisis. Flaws. But, I mean,
back to Europe.
Yeah, sorry.
So the big deal with Spain is that Spain is a big enough economy to where if Spain were to go down, then it would take down the European Union financially.
That's why they're trying to prop it up right now.
So they're going to do everything they can to prop that up. Mm. However, I think that we know that there's an alternative, and that's what they're scared of the most. And that's why you don't see news about Iceland, because if there is widespread news about Iceland, you know, about saying that, no, we are not going to socialize private debt, and if people so basically saying no to austerity measures, saying no to bailouts, and then they were to go and look at Iceland, which is expecting a 3% growth in their economy this year.
Surprise, surprise.
You know, coming off of some of the worst economic downturn that they had. I mean, if there is widespread news of that, then guess what? Maybe people would be a little bit less leery about
the idea. It's right in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's right there all along.
It's true.
Forgive.
It's true. Iceland's got it together, you know, and other countries are moving in that general direction too. But
of course, they only forgive anything over 110%. But still,
I'll take anything, you know, any type of debt forgiveness.
A double mortgage, though, then that makes sense.
Well, that's where personal responsibility and debt forgiveness meet, though. I mean, sure. I can see that, and they're perfectly happy with it. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and advocate, you know, people just getting something, you know, for free, but at the same time, they shouldn't be held responsible for the nefarious acts of third parties that had nothing to do with them.
Well, yeah.
Or banks that are doing deals fees that they never asked the populace to do.
And they ask more for fees. They fee the crap out of you.
Where does the bank
know?
Get the credit?
The fees. Federal Reserve?
Where does the Federal Reserve get the credit?
What?
Where does the government get the credit?
The people.
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, you also bring up a really good point, though. If the United States is allowed to default on their credit, you know, default on some of their payments, why the hell can't we?
Because they have.
If their credit rating goes down, why can't our? I get penalized if I miss a payment, but United States, you know.
Here's the thing, they want.
They got nukes.
Yeah, exactly.
What my thing is you've got these people being bailed out. And you, like you said, you want, I mean, why aren't we being bailed out in a way?
Yeah, we're going back to what we talked about last week in 2008.
Right.
Banks got bailed out. We got sold out.
If all that money went to the people rather than the banks, I mean, I guarantee you we'd have a hopping economy right now.
If college students came out of college with, like, you know, minimal, like maybe under $10,000 of debt or something like that, you know how
our economy would be growing.
That would stimulate it.
I was lucky enough to be in Sweden a few years back, and there was this guy that I spoke to. Who was just out at it was like a hamburger joint of all places, right? And he's asking me about all sorts of things about American politics. He says he's very interested in. He says he finds it very entertaining. And he knew an awful lot about American politics, much more than I could say that I knew about, you know, Swedish politics. And he was very well dressed and so on and so forth. He'd just gone out, this whole thing, and he was talking about how he just got back from a vacation in India. And all this, you know, and all this amazing stuff. He's sitting here in a resort town, so I figured this guy's pretty well to do. The guy's a dishwasher.
Whoa.
The guy's a dishwasher at one of the restaurants. He's able to travel around so much. He says, because when I come out of college, I have no debt and I have health care.
Yeah.
Ah.
Wow.
So
autonomy.
So he has money to spend.
So as soon as he starts making money, he's saving it and
or spending it. And turning it back into the economy.
Right. Saving up to travel.
Yeah, and then we're going to a burger joint in Sweden. You know, I mean,
speaking of burger joints, listen, don't you guys? This is so funny.
Oh boy, this segue game.
Speaking of burgers.
Yeah, speaking of burgers. Look, I went to Burger King.
Did you say steak?
You know, they're capitalizing on cheese. They're charging $1.50 for some cheese.
That's crap.
I know.
Rise up, Canton.
You know what? I was going to protest. Where's my cheese?
Yeah. Where's Wisconsin at?
Well, maybe that'll be the issue that tips the scales. I mean, what's going to be the point that makes people that uncomfortable? Says, no, I want free cheese on my burger.
Apparently, it was.
If that's the straw that breaks the camel's back, then so be it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, but it needs to be something. One of the big things in a lot of these other countries we lionize quite a bit, and I think that one of the things that we have to remember is that there were much more serious life-threatening issues that were going on in a lot of these Middle Eastern countries, and so I think that there's a lot more for people to have been, like, very much, you know, excited about, to go out on the streets and do an awful lot of things, but that's where the whole comfort issue, you know, comes in, is that where the movement has really taken off has been in places where the suffering has been palpable. I think that the difference between them and us is that we have this cushion of pop culture and fast food, you know, that is buffering us from that misery.
TV, beer, fast food.
If you, yeah.
Walmart.
If we experience the actual misery that's going on, like if we relied on the land and knew that fracking was destroying that land and my ability to feed, you know, my family, then guess what? There'd be a heck of a lot more people out there, you know, protesting fracking, you know, but we don't think about that because we have this buffer of pop culture and fast food.
You know? This fake comfort that's, you know, that's this temporary, you know,
blubber.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that soothes your mind for a little bit. Yeah, if you want to sit here and make the argument that fast food is not a drug today, you're high. You know what I mean? Because that is that stuff anymore. Just before I left, they were going through the world's or the nation's worst kids meals. I mean, it was McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, all of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're just absolutely horrific and terrible, you know, for you. Calories galore, sodium, sweets,
not
all
only
that.
That, but you posted something the other day that really got me. I won't even eat vegetables or anything anymore because of you, Mike Check.
on that note, on that appetizing note, we are going to go into our next music break. Got a little Nine Inch Nails coming our way, and we will be back soon.
You really got me good.
Thank you.
little Nine Inch Nails, Just Like You Imagined, from Fragile. One of my favorite songs by those guys. All right. So, coming into our next segment, we have a couple different updates for coming up. Later on, we'll have a I think we have a winner on the Where's Mitt contest. but before we get to that, I think we have the Bilderberg update.
You should be very afraid.
Bilderberg, named after the hotel in Europe. All right. So, more news from the Evil Empire. We actually have a person who was live at Bilderberg, and just hold on a minute here, and we will.
All right, we did actually have, there was a report that Mitt Romney was inside Bilderberg, and now we have last week's, Sam, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right,
so. I'm trying to find you on the station. I'm trying to find you as I'm driving, but yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, great.
You good morning.
Hi, Sam.
Hello there.
Okay, can you tell us, you went to the protest, and how did it all go?
I'm glad I got a chance to do this as a follow-up interview, because it was insane. First of all, when everyone first got there, it was loud and rowdy to begin with. And I think my favorite story from it was just how arrogant and dumb these people are. They're supposed to be the best and the brightest that the country has. They had one guy standing out there playing the Metallica song, Don't Tread on Me, through his phone in a bullhorn. And just about everybody ignored him. And then Henry Kissinger came out and shouted something to the effect of, turn that music off or something.
Kissinger said that?
I do believe it was Kissinger. That was what I heard. I was at the I was about 100, 200 feet away at the other entrance. Well, they had like a fenced-off area where everybody was bullhorning later on. But we didn't know at the time. You know what that did, Tyrone. It brought every protester down there. And, I mean, the noise level and the energy that you could feel from just every liberty-minded patriot there was electrified. And as a funny side note to that, a police officer came out with a rifle of some kind. And Alex Jones was about halfway through an interview. He immediately, all I heard him say was, no. He goes walking down and he starts challenging them. He's like, you're going to take guns out, are you? You're going to bring guns out when there's children out here? Why don't you shoot me? Watch what that does for the movement, that kind of thing he was saying. And then he called all of the protesters to protest all night long. Well, Tyrone, my voice was cooked. So I went ahead and filled a Prince Albert metal can full of nails, and I rattled it outside of that hotel until I was virtually one of the last people there.
Good for you.
Nice. So did you actually see any of the celebrity attendees like Mitt Romney?
No, there were signs there that were welcoming Romney aboard. Everyone knew that he was going to be there, and I know that actually InfoWars and WeAreChange.org have both confirmed that he was in fact there. I was being a smart ass and saying, welcome to Virginia, Rubio, at the top of my lungs. It's still not known for sure whether or not he was there. I was hollering for Rubio. I was carrying a sign that said man-made global warming is a lie. And at one point, they asked me to start chanting something, and they handed me a bullhorn. So I said the first thing that I could think of, which was Agenda 21 is Agenda 666.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nice.
Can't be more blunt than that.
Wow, crazy times.
So I'm not really sure if Romney was there. If you don't mind, I would like, I'm going to need a couple of days more, maybe even a week more, to go ahead and actually edit this. But if you go to the correct views on YouTube.com, you will find shortly, it'll be posted, it's called Occupy, it's called Bilderberg, Why It Mattered to Me. And what I did is I've interviewed celebrities like Alex Jones, Aaron Dykes. I got to meet Luke Grabowski from 911 Truth, and a lot of regular average Joe people like you and I. And I'm gonna, it's probably going to be about 45 minutes or so. It's an entire interview with everybody that I met, why they came there. And I'll be posting it up free. I'm going to be asking a bunch of people to come look at it.
Hey, Sam, if you get time, there's a website called wakeupworld.com. It's wakeup-world.com. And if you search within the website, Bilderberg, they have a list of all the attendees. But for some reason, I can't find Mitt. Where is Mitt?
No, that is frequent. If you remember in 2008, Hillary and Obama pulled a disappearing act, and it was Obama that didn't have it on his itinerary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, some of the names and organizations that are here, though, just in the United States alone, just, you know, sicken me, you know, disturbs me, but at the same time, it's the truth. You know, people need to be aware of this, but like even well-known professors, economic professors, to, you know, members of Goldman Sachs, and even the Environmental Defense Fund, all from the United States, all in the same building together.
And that is, and they try to say that they're not planning anything.
Sure.
Well, I mean,
okay.
I don't know if you've seen it, but they have 1964 documents that have just been declassified. And actually, declassified might be kind of a bad word, maybe leaked. And it outlines how they were talking about creating the euro in 1964, which basically admits that they are breaking the Logan Act right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does say that John Kerry was there, senator from Massachusetts. He was in attendance.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who would have been worse for that election. It's a nightmare.
So,
and I also wonder if there is a chance that Bilderberg has been influencing this sudden turnaround that we have seen from Rand Paul. And I do know that it was confirmed by a number of sources that they had said they would like to see all of Ron Paul's supporters put on an airplane with a suicide bomber and crashed.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's deep.
So, I mean, who knows what they threatened him to do, but I don't know if you followed it. That turnaround that happened doesn't make
any
sense.
Yeah, I just read about that. So, you got really excited about being there. There was a lot of energy in the atmosphere with people.
It was like people knew you their whole life.
Awesome.
We went into the restaurant and this Amish woman saw me, and I'm like wearing a Ron Paul shirt and I'm covered in sweat. She invites me over to her table. My girlfriend and I ate steak with her, and she volunteered to give us a ride back to the protest. And at the end of the night, there were only like five of us at the front gate, and three of them were from that group of people that invited me. It was just like a family from the word go.
So basically, it's love again. It's love.
Yes. United.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Sam, for your update, and we'll look forward to seeing your thing on YouTube. And thanks for being on the air.
Maybe we'll have an official viewing at Radio Free. That would be an honor.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Day.
Thanks, Sam.
You too.
All right, well, Bilderberg. There was your Evil Empire update.
Yeah, it's disturbing. Their press release, I'm reading it now. You can find this. It's on our Tumblr, folks, revolutionradio.tumblr.com. The intro of their press release, it's their 60th Bilderberg meeting. It was held in Virginia from May 31st to June 3rd. And it just involves, you know, all walks of life that could possibly manipulate, you know, the world economy and the world system, you know, transatlantic relations, evolution of the political landscape in Europe, austerity and growth, developed economies, cybersecurity, you know, you name it, future of democracy, Russia, China, and the Middle East, all in the same room together is basically summing up the
having a weenie roast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not,
you know, just having hot dogs, you know,
getting to know each other,
you know, natty lights.
Getting acquainted.
Good stuff. Well, you know, because they're not doing anything. They're
maybe
not
some
talking about anything.
Maybe some bath salts. I don't know.
What if they're all nude in solidarity with the Montreal? Okay.
No. You know, it's really scary. I found another one. Kevin Warsh, a distinguished visiting fellow. He was in attendance, and he's also from the Hoover Institution. And he's, I don't know if he works at Stanford, if he's a professor or what. Is the Hoover Institution, is that the same? Am I confusing that with another nonprofit initiative?
I don't know.
Okay, well then we'll just table that for now. But either way, for Kissinger, I can't believe that. I'm going back to that for a second.
I love that. Yeah,
that is just.
Turn that music down.
Yeah, quiet down.
Damn kids!
I can't hear myself think.
I don't think they do much of thinking at all.
It's worth it just for that image in my mind.
I think like, so, yeah.
Kissinger.
Oh my!
I hope so. If I was an artist, that would be a great thing to draw.
Something. Get those pictures.
So there is power in love, in solidarity, in uniting together. You know, and we can even feel it here on our little show. And today we got a GA in about an hour, General Assembly, downtown Canton. So let's unite. Let's be United States. We're all individual states, and we need to unite.
Drop the fear, folks. At the end of the day, you should not fear speaking your mind. You should not fear expressing yourself. You know, there are many ways, you know, innovative ways to voice your opinion, to protest the system. And us doing what we're doing is a form of protest, in my opinion, because we try and get, you know, information to you that the mainstream media obviously won't.
And love.
No, seriously.
Love would entail enlightening you.
Yes. It can move people.
Giving you a hug.
Really. People, you know, working here locally at a successful small business, just things like people are so afraid of other individuals sometimes. Like, I just notice everyone's always looking down. Nobody will look you in the eyes anymore, you know. Or if I, like, nod at somebody, just that simple, that nod back, knowing that, hey, I see that you exist too. You know, you don't really have that. Or when you do have that, people look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, I think in the Eastern, they say namaste, which means greetings, divine one, because you're divine.
Namaste.
Just like I'm namaste.
Yeah. Yep.
We could do that with everybody.
Absolutely.
So, even the 1%. Okay.
Just in closing, I just want to put a word out there. It's we're thinking about you out in Syria. Things just seem to be getting worse. You know, another 17 people died the other day, and you have our support. You know, you're out there fighting every single day. You're fighting tooth and nail, and we're behind you.
They are the epitome of bravery.
Just so you know, it was not just 17 people that died.
Oh,
that
was just the other day. But.
Okay, the massacre, the recent one. Was
before then.
Was on Thursday morning, Thursday morning we had the United Nations come in, and they were even shot at, but they took out a whole village, and they said that there's nothing but burnt flesh, blood splatter, and there's babies that are dead and women.
Right.
I mean, it's a horrible picture. It was too graphic for them to show, of course, on the media, but it's real.
So anyway, yes, solidarity Syria with the people of Syria who are suffering. It shouldn't ever have to happen.
We are with you, Syria. We know how fortunate we are over here now.
This has been another show of Revolution Radio here on Radio Free Canton and RadioFreeCanton.net out to the world at large.
I want to say a special hello to, I know you'll listen at some point, to my friends in Amsterdam. Higgs, if you're listening, be safe over there, kiddo.
Another thing is just want to throw out there, they need people in Riverdale before we hang up.
Go ahead.
The fracking action in Riverdale. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. It's right next to Jersey Shore. They have Riverdale, who is a 37 family community.
It's a mobile homes.
Mobile homes. And
it's on our Tumblr.
Okay. Well, it's on the Tumblr if you guys want to check it out, but they need people there. The people's barricade was breached on Thursday morning, and they need more people and more voices out there to try to save their, you know, their river or their...
Yeah, Occupy Cleveland is making it a point to be there with them, and also Ohio Fraction. Check out their website. I know some members from Ohio Fraction.
I'm going to try to head out really there on Sunday, I think. If you guys... want to call me, I can do like a location thing and post it.
Or just take notes.
We'll make it happen. All right.
Peace, love, and solidarity, guys.
Peace, love, and solidarity,
until
folks.
Until next Saturday.
We love you.
Love you. Mwah.
The world is a vampire. Secret destroyers. Hold you up to the flame. spite of my rage, I'm still